Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Armor Report. I'm your host, Brett Rosenthal, and this is a show, as always, about investing in the millennial stock market. I like to say this isn't your dad's stock market. It's certainly not your granddad's stock market. There has been an unbelievable amount of information that flows to your desktop now that gets in the way of investment decisions. Something your dad never had to deal with. No such thing as Twitter, no such thing as email, no such thing as the internet. I work with my dad for over 30 years now. He started out as an equity analyst 50 plus years ago, I guess it was now. And I remember him coming home every night carrying a briefcase full of research. That's how he got his information. Got on the phone, called CEOs of companies, met with management teams. That's how I got started in the business, meeting management teams of companies 3-4 times a week in our office in New York, gathering information, making investments, and a basic understanding of the business cycle was all you needed to invest correctly. It's not like that today. 2008 was a major game changer, but even before the collapse of 2008, algorithms began to take over. And the internet began to stuff a whole bunch of worthless information into your head, and it can become very confusing, and it makes it real hard to manage capital, manage your own capital. You can constantly be led astray. I just watched Pinocchio with my 5-year-old son on a train ride home from Washington, D.C. after Thanksgiving. And the internet and all of the information coming at you, it really reminds me of Honest John. You guys have to go take a look at that. Google the reference if you want. Hi, diddly D. That's what's going on when you listen to all this information coming in. It's taking you down the wrong path when it comes to investing. And what we do here is try to share with you information directly off our trading desk. This is a live trading desk. When you see me look off camera, it's because I've got screens all around me, algorithms running all around me. These are proprietary algorithms, and I share that information with you every day at 12 o'clock to help you sift through the noise of the market and just quiet down the cacophony and build an investing plan and put that capital to work when the risk versus reward is right. And when we're on the right side of probabilities and statistics, that's what we do here every day. We invest, the first layer of investment are the top 5 indexes that we follow, and we've written precise algorithms for to help us know when we're on the right side of probability and statistics, when the reward's worth the risk we're taking. That's the S&P, the Dow, the NASDAQ, small caps, and the momentum index. These are all ETFs we're trading. And the next layer is going to be our favorite themed group ETFs, whether it be the cannabis stocks, biotech, basic technology, what have you, whatever it is at the time. We have a whiteboard of our favorite themes. We try to focus on them. And then the last layer, the last piece that we use to build our portfolios here as we invest in equities are individual stocks. We kind of go that way. So the first thing we do every day on the show is look at the top 5 indexes and see what are they telling us right now and what's the information around all that noise we hear. Is it worth paying attention to? Okay. You'll always hear me say this, and you know, I think of all the talking heads on TV, I think Jim Cramer is one of the best, and he's saying it too. And so it's really worth listening to. The Fed is the only thing that matters. And he's been harping on the Fed now for a couple of months. And he's been absolutely right. The Fed overstepped. The Fed talked about raising rates without looking at the economy. The market was afraid of that. We had a 2-month a drawdown in equities across the board. Then we had Chairman Powell talk yesterday. That's the piece of news that matters. Everything else is noise. I don't care what happens between Trump and China. I don't care. That's just noise. And depending on what the market does, here's the headline you're going to see, right? If the market goes down, the headline will be the G20 meeting's a dud and there's a problem between Trump and Xi, right? If the market goes up, the headline you're going to hear is, oh, the G20 meeting was great. Here's what Trump and Xi are doing. None of it means anything. The market's going higher right now because the Fed tempered their tightening enthusiasm yesterday. So let's look at our index ETFs. All five of them are telling us to get long the market at the same time. Statistically speaking, and I'm on the side of probability and statistics all the time when I make investment decisions. Statistically speaking, you could go back 10 years, 20 years. I would argue it's not worth going back more than 20 years because the world has changed dramatically since the rise of the machine and algorithms. But you could go back further. When all five of our index algorithms are telling us to get long the market, the probabilities are at their highest that we're going to be able to put risk on and get out of this position with a profit. Now, it doesn't mean every profit is huge. But all I'm trying to do when I get on the right side of probabilities is put capital to work and exit with a profit. This could be the beginning of a 2-3-4 month move and we'll make a lot of money. Or it could be the beginning of a 3-week move and we'll make a little bit of money. It's okay. I'm not here to predict what's going to happen over the next X amount of months. Nobody knows that. All I do every day using our algorithms is try to understand risk versus reward and probabilities and statistics. If we get on the right side, over time, we can increase our net worth. And while we're doing it, we can protect our capital. That's the key. In the market today, you got to protect capital first, capture upside second. So to review, all five of our major index ETFs are telling us to get long the market. And they're telling us to get long the market now. If you've been listening to this podcast the last couple of days, and yesterday was our first, you know, YouTube live stream, I'm doing another one today. Thank you for joining me. We said 2 days ago is that we're starting to buy the Qs and the small caps. Those are the first two of the five big ETFs that were telling us to get long the market. That's before the Fed meeting, right? Or I should say the Chairman Powell comments yesterday. It's the day before. What good would I be if I just talk to you after news events occur and say, now's the time to do something? I see guys on my Twitter feed competing for your eyeballs telling you, oh, the market's below the 200-day. You better not do anything until it goes above the 200-day. Or guys saying, oh, there's a death cross in the small cap index. This is not helping you make money. It's not helping you protect assets. By the time the market goes above the 200-day moving average, it'll be, statistically speaking, too late to put capital to work. The risk will be too big for the reward you're trying to capture. You'll be too far away from what the real stop is, so you'll have to take more risk. It's not worth it. You have to start investing 2 days ago. Then we get confirmation yesterday. Chairman Powell makes some positive comments, and the market blows out. And the other three index confirm what the first two told us. And so we're up already yesterday. You know, we carried a lot of cash the last 2 months. We started putting it to work 2 days ago. We added to it yesterday. Now, if you're following my Twitter feed, which I suggest that you do, hashtag Armor Report, A-R-M-R Report, at Brett Rosenthal, B-R-E-T Rosenthal, I'm trying to help you understand how I do this. All of the business that I run is through Interactive Brokers. We have three accounts that any investor can link to get exposure to algorithmic investing immediately. Conservative, balanced, and aggressive. And so in all three of those accounts, we're putting capital to work yesterday, but as their names suggest, we put less money to work on the first day in the conservative, more money in aggressive. But across all the board of all three, I'm still not 100% committed. I've got my risk on opportunity, But when the market closes up huge like that, really far away from the volume weighted average price, which you've heard me talk about other podcasts, I'm not going to go into it right now. I generally like to look for weakness over the next couple of days and buy the VWAP. So I acknowledge that all five indexes are telling me get risk on. I have to put some capital to work. But depending on how aggressive or conservative I am, I'm holding some back so that I can add on weakness. Like this morning, small cap index came right back down to the VWAP of yesterday. If you wanted to add small caps, it was at around 11 o'clock today where it was hitting the VWAP, a little bit before 11. So that would be your entry point to add some more if you want. I'm going to tell you what my strategy is a little bit later in the show. We're going to go over rule number 5 of my investing rules of the road. I've been doing this 30 years and I'm sharing with you. Rule number 5 is the big rule today. I'll get to that in a minute. So I've got capital to work. I've put capital to work 2 days ago. We added positions yesterday when we got confirmation, and we still have some firepower to add over the next couple of days on weakness, preferably weakness in the morning. That's our strategy. The market just runs away from us and skyrockets. Hey, we got more than enough on right now. We'll make some good money. If it backs and fills and closes the VWAP gap, which from a statistical probability standpoint is high, then we've got firepower to add to our positions. Let me also say that yesterday's risk on entry point is one of the hardest risk on entry points to take. And yet the hardest ones to take generally make the most amount of money with the highest probability of success. And what I mean by that is if I go back and look over the last 20 years at all of our entry points using these algorithms, the entry points on days where the market is up more than 2% are rare. So statistically, I don't know if I have a big enough data set to make this more of an anecdotal point. But it's incredibly high, statistically speaking, when we get this entry point on a big up day in the market, 2% plus. Generally speaking, you will not see the market take out the lows of yesterday before extending to targets where we'll be selling as the market's rallying and we're raising our stops. And it makes sense. It makes sense why this usually works, because it's caught so many people off guard. A lot of people were negative. A lot of people were short. Chairman Powell makes comments. The market gaps up and runs. A gap and go day is the best type of a risk on buy signal, because it traps people. It traps the shorts who haven't covered yet. And it traps a lot of guys in cash that aren't long yet, don't know what to do with it. The market's up 2%. They decide to wait. And, you know, the market's always trying to get you off the bus or keep you off the bus. And this is an example of keeping you off the bus. You think to yourself, the market was up too much yesterday. I can't do anything. I got to wait for it to come down. Particularly after 2 months of high volatility, you figure there must be another huge downdraft. And then that downdraft just never comes. The market grinds higher. So the hardest entry points to take are the big up days, and those generally tend to be the ones that work. Doesn't mean it has to. I mean, this is statistics. There's always, you know, 10% chance that it won't. But I'm just trying to get us on the right side of statistics and probabilities. And I'm saying that statistically speaking, using our algorithms and doing our back-tested research, it's incredibly high. The markets are going up from here. How much, I don't know, but they're going up from here. Forgive me today. I'm a little bit under the weather, so you might hear that. Got to drink my tea. Clear my voice. Okay. So to round out this part of the show, all five algorithms telling us to get long, risk on. Chairman Powell changes his tune and gets a little more dovish, which is very, you know, bullish, and it's the only piece of information that matters to this market. And it was a big percentage up day, which generally means the markets are going higher and has trapped people. Let me also draw your attention to our Twitter feed, okay? I'll give you a minute to go look at it because a picture is worth a thousand words, and I think it's important that you literally look at this. So go ahead. I'll wait. Hashtag Armor Report, A-R-M-R Report, and you'll see my last couple of tweets come up. I want to draw your attention to a tweet I put out an hour ago. It says, the similarities between 2016 and 2018 for the market are stunning. I want you to click on the chart, blow it up so you can see it. On the left-hand side, you're going to see a chart of the S&P 500. SPY is the symbol, it's the ETF, and I wrote on it on the chart for you, showing you which one's which, that Janet Yellen back in 2015 was tapering, if you remember, and it was called the taper tantrum. It led to a two-month sell-off in the equity markets at the beginning of 2016, January, February. Pretty aggressive, that set up a double bottom, and when she stopped tapering, when she made her comments that she was done tapering, the markets had put in a double bottom. We got a risk on buy signal across the board. And 2 months later, the market was making new highs. In the midst of all that, there was the British exit and all this other ridiculous noise that means nothing to the markets. What the markets care about are what the Fed's doing. Fed's adding liquidity, markets go up. Reducing liquidity, markets go down. Get used to it, people. That's the only piece of news you have to worry about. I'm making it easy for you. That's it. The rest is noise. I don't care how much you hate Trump. Trump doesn't move the markets up or down. His economic policies help create a boom for a year or so, and so the market priced that in. But it was also during a backdrop of Fed easing. So that was more of just fuel to the fire of Fed easing. And in 2018, the Fed started to tighten the screws, and it didn't matter what Trump does. All right, now we have a double bottom. Look at this chart. Hashtag Armor Report. Go look at it. Click on it. Right next to it is the double bottom setup from yesterday. The risk on buy signal was yesterday. Look at that double bottom. It's a two-month sell-off because Chairman Powell said he didn't care about the economy. He was going to be raising rates, right? That's what he said a couple months ago, and it led to a two-month sell-off. It is eerily similar to what Janet Yellen said. They both said these things at the beginning of their Fed chairman tenure. Trying to look tough led to an equity market sell-off. Look at these charts. They're almost identical. In fact, I would argue that the S&P looks better this time around because it's closer to the 200-day moving average, which is kind of flatlining right now. It's not going down anymore. Those of you listening to my previous podcast know that a downtrending 250-day really had me concerned about the markets. Why I was short. I covered those shorts. I booked a profit 3 days ago or 2 days ago. 2 days ago when we were getting the buy signal on the Qs and the small caps, I was selling my puts, booking a profit, and turning around and buying the market. You could be making money like this too. Just join me, you know. Follow these YouTube videos, listen to the podcast, start to understand how algorithms can help you. I digress. Look at those two charts. They're almost identical. Double bottoms. And for the same reasons, because the Fed chair was strict and was reducing liquidity, and then the Fed chair changed their tune. Now go look at the next tweet. The tweet I made right after that is a blown-up chart pattern of Janet Yellen's taper tantrum, right? Double bottom in 2016. Take a look. Go on. I'll wait. Look at what the market did in the following 2 months. Market went to a new high in 2 months. Don't think that can't happen now. Today it's fear of Trump and tariffs. Back then it was a fear of the British exit and all the stuff going on around that. None of it mattered. market skyrocketed. The Fed was adding liquidity. The Fed was not tightening. So we don't know if the market's going to go to a new high in the next 2 months. It will really depend on what Chairman Powell says over the next couple months. You know, yesterday he said some things that make it seem like he's a little bit closer to the end of the rate tightening cycle. If that's true, then this market is going higher. Similarities are eerie. Wow. Okay. Moving on. Let me just say one other thing as we move on. Let's move on. Trump versus the Fed. In a very strange way, the more difficult Trump's presidency gets, the more troubling his negotiations with China, the more that slows down the economy, the more it keeps the Fed on hold. So in the short term, if there's negative announcements out of this G20 meeting over the weekend, the market might sell off. But I would be surprised if it took out the lows yesterday. Because if the market sells off due to Trump's increased rhetoric over tariffs that is hurting economies and slowing down growth, that will mean that the Fed is close to the end of its rate tightening cycle. And the market likes that and it goes up. So this weekend could create volatility. Trump could say things that will wreck the market on Monday morning. But by the end of the week, market could be trading higher. This is all about understanding what moves the markets and using algorithms to help you instead of listening to the noise all around you of craziness. Rule number five, let's get to it right now. I've told you this before and I'll go over it again right now. All right? I'm writing a book for you, okay? I'm going to eventually do a blog post so you can just go back and look at this blog post to help you out. But in the meantime, write this down. Grab a pen and a piece of paper. These are rules of the road from 30 years of doing this in the high seas. I'm writing this book for my 5-year-old son and my 2-year-old daughter. I'm going to give it to them when they're 18. They're going off to college. I'm going to share it with you between now and then. Rule number five on the list. Determine your investing plan when the markets are closed and TV is off. And then execute ruthlessly that plan when the market opens. Do not let the market's behavior or what they say on CNBC change your approach. What's my approach? All five big indexes are telling me to get risk on. I've done it. I've got cash to buy weakness. This is the little tidbit I'm going to share with you. My guess is that there'll be weakness into the close on Friday. We've had a huge run-up. Today, my guess is the market's just going to go back and forth, digest that run-up. If we're in a real good market, it's going to digest that run-up. And then it may sell off down to yesterday's VWAP tomorrow into the weekend. Based on fears of we don't know what Trump's going to do, blah, blah, blah. That weakness will be the weakness I'm looking for to finish off my positions. I'll add to my positions on that weakness as we come back down to VWAPs and we consolidate the move of the last couple of days into a G20 meeting because I don't care what comes out of the meeting. I don't care. It's not how I run money. Worrying about what Trump says or doesn't say or tweets or doesn't tweet. That's not a way to run money. There's some people that hate Donald Trump and it's affecting the way they invest and it's absurd. It doesn't have any impact. Statistically speaking, it's got no impact, right? Is there a 10% chance that he does something horrific that somehow flips the market on its head? Okay, sure. But investing is about getting on the right side of probabilities and statistics. It's not about getting on the 10% side. That's what most people don't understand. Most people are always on the 10% side because it feels safe there, it feels comfortable there. When the market's already up huge, people run out there and put money to work. Why? I mean, there's only a 10% chance that it goes higher from there. The market's already up huge, right? But they feel comfortable joining the crowd right at the end, even though the reward from that point is not even remotely worth the risk they're taking. And the flip side is true. Market's down big, fear of Trump or whatever, so they'd rather hold cash and be on the side of the 10% chance that, that Trump does something horrific to ruin the markets. 90% chance that buy signals, Fed action, risk on opportunities from algorithms will lead to an increase in our net worth over the next X amount of weeks. And yet some people sit in the 10% position because it makes them comfortable. Well, I'm glad you're comfortable, but it's not going to make you money. It's not going to protect your capital. And it's not going to make you money. Algorithms will help you do that. And that's what I'm here trying to share with you. Okay, so that's rule number five. Make your decisions. Make your plan when the TV's off, and the market's closed, and then execute ruthlessly when the market opens and things develop. Don't second guess yourself. If I get weakness on Friday afternoon, I'm adding to my positions. If I got enough weakness this morning, I would have added to positions, but it just didn't come down enough. So I'm waiting, doing research, looking for other ideas I want to own. I need to be all in on my investments in the next couple of days. When we have risk on for everything yesterday, there's like a 2-3 day window where you might get some weakness, and that's where you finish off your positions. And then I'm done. When the market starts to run, all the other suckers are going to be buying as the market's blowing out above the 200-day moving average. I'm already in, right? I'm making money at that point. It's about reward versus risk. I want to put my positions to work when I'm closest to my stop. This is so hard for people to understand. They think the stop is too tight. It's not too tight. It's not. The market's going to work. You put your position on, you get paid right away. If you don't get paid right away, wrong entry. Wrong entry. Get stopped out quick, reassess. When the market's running, I'm going to already be making my money. And I'm going to be looking for exits, buy weakness, sell into strength. That's what the algorithms do. This is a live trading desk. It's what I'm doing right now every day. What I'm sharing with you. I hope I'm helping. You're helping me by listening because it really keeps me focused and it makes sure that I execute the way I'm supposed to. All right, before we wrap up, I'm just looking at my notes. Anything I've missed? I love the momentum ETF. It's confirming this breakout of the whole market. And I like that momentum ETF better than some of the other technology ETFs that are too, like for instance, I used to love FDN, which is the big cap internet stocks, but too much exposure to Facebook and things that I don't really want to own. So the momentum ETF, I think, is a great way to confirm overall uptrends in the big index. And that's why I'm focusing on momentum. That's working well. All right, I think that's it for today. I've covered all the notes. I hope this was helpful. I want you all to be safe out there. Be smart. Make your own risk decisions, right? You can't take what I say and then go do something. I do my own risk positions. You have to look in the mirror and say, are you aggressive? Are you conservative? How do you want to do this? What I'm saying on this show right here is the reward to risk is worth it from here. The probabilities are worth it from here. We're on the right side. But that doesn't mean we can't lose money. We might. And you have to be willing. You have to accept that. You have to be willing to take losses on the way to success. I hope it doesn't happen. It looks like a great entry. But we have to stay disciplined, and we can't let our ego get in the way. You all have a great day, and I'll talk to you again tomorrow, 12 o'clock. Thanks for joining.